You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. I'm Jay Hargrave filling in for Gus Kattengill. And you may have trouble hearing us because we're having the police go by. The windows are open. And hopefully it was only one motorcycle. Thought for a minute we were going to get drowned out there. That's one of the fun things of doing the show live from the French Quarter when there is things going on in the street during Mardi Gras. And I think we do have a band coming down.
It sounds like a band is coming. Maybe that's Rebecca Black's band.
I doubt it. Seriously, I don't think she can afford a band. Brian from NOLA East and Jason Troskler are joining us.
If there is a marching band playing Rebecca Black Friday right now,
here they come. So you may have trouble hearing us. So maybe this is, Joey, the perfect time to play Rebecca Black because hopefully the band outside will drown her out. There you go, Joey. Come on, Joey! I really got nothing on this one. I mean, usually you can sit by, you see this go by, it's like, okay, it's a wedding, they're second lining, it's a bachelor party or something. This looks like just a group of people said, let's just put together our own Mardi Gras parade.
It was such a cornucopia of noise, a symphony of noise just now because he had Rebecca Black playing with the marching band.
That was the best description of Rebecca Black, a bunch of noise.
Yeah, there you go. A cornucopia of just noise.
But does that not out there on Royal Street right now just look like 200 people who just said, hey, let's put together our own Mardi Gras parade. We'll hire a brass band and just go marching down the streets.
You know, it's funny. I mean, obviously, yeah, it's Mardi Gras, but this could just happen any day in the quarter. Like, this could be a Tuesday. This could just be any Tuesday and it would happen here.
This could be, and a lot of times we do this when Gus is here doing the sports
hangover. Sure.
With the doors open, a lot of times you get drowned out by
absolutely
what's passing by in the street.
Just a little extra energy with it being Mardi Gras. But no, it's beautiful sights, man.
And
beautiful sights and sounds.
And the French Quarter starting to get a little bit busy. And we are at 132 Royal, Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. We're half a block off the parade route. We've got 54 taps. One is dedicated to a beat of root beer. One is dedicated to Dixie beer, so we can't call that craft, and the rest is craft beer. So come on by and join us for some lunch. Listen to the Sports Hangover and get ready for Mardi Gras. Brian, last segment we were talking about what I thought was the fiasco that the Cavaliers did. I don't see how this team is going to, if LeBron James leaves, be competitive. You're talking about Tristan Thompson be your center. You're talking about Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance, who are guys who were also pieces in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodney Hood's a good piece, but do you consider him a major starter in the NBA? I don't see where, even with the draft pick, the Brooklyn Nets draft pick,
mm-hmm,
that could end up being the 14th pick in the draft, could end up being the first pick in the draft. We don't
right
know how that's going to play out yet in the lottery. But do you see this team being competitive if LeBron James walks out the door? Yesterday, I'm sitting there at trade after trade. When Dwayne Wade was traded, I was like, they're trying to get him to waive his no-trade clause because LeBron's going to get traded before the 3 o'clock deadline. It never happened.
I didn't think he was going to trade, waive his no-trade clause simply because I don't think LeBron actually wants to help Dan Gilbert in any way, shape, or form. I think he wants to control this situation for what it is. He's in charge, and that's, and, you know, I guess basically Dan Gilbert's answer was, oh, yeah, we'll see. Watch this. So I think that's that power struggle that's going on between the two of them to see who's in charge of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, Dan Gilbert answered that. Competitive as in championship competitive? Absolutely not. Competitive as in they can make the playoffs in the East? Well, absolutely. They'll still have enough pieces even with that pick. And, of course, they can always use that pick at a later time to trade for another star, not LeBron-esque, but another star in general. So they'll be able to make some moves to help themselves stay competitive in the East. championship level, absolutely not.
Now, one of the teams that I kind of, not that I'm fearing them sitting behind us, but the thought of Isaiah Thomas now being part of the Lakers, and again, everybody, everything you're hearing from everybody is that he's going to probably be bought out, and because I'm surprised we haven't heard from LaVar Ball. I thought for sure he would have put his two cents in.
It's coming.
But it just seems like a team. Channing Frye is a nice piece. Mm-hmm. The Lakers, that was a very, very young team. They bring in a couple of veterans. Do you think this team could make a run at the Pelicans toward that one of those last playoff spots?
The Lakers, absolutely not. The Utah Jazz frightened me tremendously. The Lakers are still young. Yes, they're improving, but they're not the type of team that are going to, you know, hit this stride to where they win the next 12 out of, you know, 16 games and, you know, be a threat to the Pelicans. I don't think they have that in them. And with IT being bought out, I think that actually helps because IT gets to go and pick another team. Wouldn't it be ironic to see IT end up back in Boston after everything that's taking place? He definitely said he doesn't want to come off the bench, which is exactly what will happen in L.A. But if you take your focus and you move it away from L.A. on which team can catch the Pelicans, the Utah Jazz. Rudy Gobert, back, healthy. You know, he played the other night. You're looking at a team, you know, looking at a team that could also get Paul Millsap back very soon. That's a team that frightens me the most because, if anything, they can beat the Pelicans even when they're not healthy. They're that well coached and that good. That team scares me.
I tell you another team that I wrote them off when Chris Paul left was the L.A. Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
When Blake Griffin was traded to Detroit, and there's another team you need to be careful about in the East.
Yeah.
They're undefeated. And what do we use here in New Orleans? Every time we bring out, it takes time for teams to gel. Blake Griffin's 4-0 since he's been to Detroit, and they look like a dominant team now. Listen, I think the Pelicans, they scare me. I a couple of weeks ago, when Blake Griffin was traded, I said, we've got a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
After the way they've looked on the court,
mm-hmm.
the way Utah, the Clippers have continued to play well, I'm not 100% sure the Pelicans are even going to make the playoffs.
I think they make it simply by default. I think that the Utah Jazz, again, that's the team that scares me that can catch the Pelicans and knock them out of the playoffs. But I think because the Clippers are, you know, they are who they are. The Pelicans, you know, match up very well with the Clippers. That'll be a slugfest that the two teams meet, but I give the Pelicans the advantage in that one. So I think they'll remain above the Clippers. Utah, different story, but I think they make it by default because I think those teams that are chasing him behind him are going to have to expend so much energy to catch them. The Pelicans just have to basically tread water and they'll be fine, especially if they can figure out a way to, you know, quickly acclimate, you know, Nikola Mirotic to the lineup to where he and AD can play off each other, much like it took Boogie and, you know, AD some time. But if they can speed up that process, maybe they'll be a lot better. And let's hope that the moves that Elvin Gentry is trying to make, which we criticize him all the time for not making adjustments, great adjustment will be if DeAndre Leggins can provide anything in the starting lineup. Points, not necessarily, but if he can be that agitator on the perimeter to help Drew, that would be just fine with me because maybe you can get 10 points off of steals and hustle alone, and that's what he looks like, the type of player that he can do.
You know, I know Solomon Hill has been hurt. He's been one of the defensive specialists. I know that hasn't helped, but this is the Pelicans are a team that gave up 133 points to the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz are not an offensive juggernaut.
Yeah.
They are a defensive team, plays games even below 100. They lit us up for 133. Now, listen, I know I criticized Darren Erman and Alvin Gentry, but Wednesday night against the Pacers, I thought that was one of their best coaching jobs.
Really?
Yeah, not to give up any points, I thought Darren Erman was completely on his game that night.
Wasn't that game postponed?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was one of their better coaching jobs since they've been here in New Orleans. But you acquire Nikola Mirotic, who's never been known as a defensive stopper.
Right.
Is this just a sense of, we can't play defense anyway, so what the hell? Let's just go get some more offensive guys who can't play defense, and let's try those first one to 150 wins.
Well, I would have thought that if they wouldn't have benched Rondo, because that, to me, that's a clear sign that we need to do something to slow up these guys from scoring points in the paint like that, because when you have a guy that can penetrate and get into the paint, it sucks the defense in. Well, what's the Pelicans' problem? Perimeter defense. So that means everybody collapses in, and you leave these three-point shooters, which you do not have. You leave those three-point shooters for the other team outside to make wide-open threes. So now you're trying to trade twos for threes, and you're going to always lose that game. Well, what the Pelicans can do now is you try to get Rondo out the way and put his, you know, 3 points that he's going to give you, maybe five assists. Yeah, but you put that on the bench and you don't have that speed bump out there at defense, and you try to agitate and you pick up guys at half court. Now you give yourself a better chance to, you know, shot clock violation. You know, maybe the other team gets a turnover and you can create a fast break. Or if anything, it gives AD time to rest back there on defense so he's not running all over the court trying to block shots. And now you can get AD, you know, I guess better on the offensive end because now he doesn't have to expend so much energy on the defensive end.
My biggest concern with the Pelicans, it just seems like Dell Demps and Alvin Gentry are just throwing spaghetti at the wall and trying to see what sticks. I don't see a game plan. I don't see this is what we're trying to build our team as. It just seems like, okay, this isn't working, so let's just bring in a whole bunch of new guys and let's see if that works. I don't know where they're going. I mean, I can sit there and watch Brad Stevens and probably what you brought up about Isaiah Thomas going back. There's a guy with a game plan. They went out and got Kyrie Irving because Isaiah Thomas had some defensive deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to cover those deficiencies. And if he ends up back there, if he can still cover that, and they got Kyrie Irving basically for free,
yeah,
and basically for Jay Crowder, this is, could be a playoff team. You can see what they're doing. You can see the process. You can see the process, what Philadelphia called the process. I don't see a process here. I just see random moves by Dell Demps, and let's just hope something works. And when it doesn't, we'll just redo it all over again at the trade deadline. If it doesn't, we'll just redo it all over again in 2018.
It almost seems as if, and I've been saying this for years about the Pelicans, they have no identity. If you think Boston, you think of a team that says defense. When you thought about the L.A. Lakers back in the day, you thought Showtime Lakers. You thought offense. The Miami Heat, you knew a team that, you know, those three guys were going to come out and they were going to put up their 80 points. Now, can you match that? Those teams had identities. I don't know what the Pelicans' identity is. And just when they started to figure out their identity was going to be playing through Boogie and A.D., Boogie goes down. So now you have to recreate an identity that took you 3 years to find in the first place. It's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough. But I think by default, they'll find a way into the playoffs. The problem is that when you find your way and you back your way into the playoffs, you've got the Golden State Warriors waiting for you. Congratulations, you know, on making it to the playoffs. Goodbye.
Here's the broom.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you brought up the point with DeMarcus Cousins. That's going to be offseason interesting for Dell Demps if they're still here and they don't make the playoffs. What do you do with him coming back from the injury? Jason, you in the mood to give away some more things?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's time to give away another gift certificate.
Correct, from the North Shore won the first one in the first hour.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we had a winner already. So we've been giving away, again, another gift certificate. And it's a Kronos, right? Kronos at 3200 North Arnold Road in Metairie. It's a perfect Valentine's gift. Jay, I don't know if you have anybody, significant other that
I'm
could
married
use
to the restaurant right now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be using it, not
no.
even for yourself.
No.
Maybe
after
all,
I'll need one after Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
I may need to pop in over there.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it's all
massage.
About. What's cool about Kronos, by the way, it's not just a spa. It's a body health wellness center, mind and spirit, aging appearance. They work on all that. There's also a full service gym, a spa, and everything. We're giving away a gift certificate for a free manicure to
and
Kronos
listeners
and Metairie.
I'm assuming listeners can go over there and get a free tour of the facility.
You can absolutely go there, too. When you bring your free gift certificate, go ahead and, you know, get a free tour, see of all the services they have. Great place in Kronos. That's 3200 North Arnold Road. If you want to hop on that now, give Joey a call back in the studio. That's 800-998-1003.
Let's do the 1,000th caller. Gets it. That's for Joey for playing Rebecca Blackwell.
Oh, no.
Play Mardi Gras
oh,
music.
Joey, you dug yourself a hole in that one.
Maybe next hour you'll listen to me, Joey. First caller, huh?
Oh, boy. Yeah, let's take out the zeros and let's just make it one. First caller, and you get a free gift certificate.
So give Joey a call, 1-800-998-1003. When we come back, Rafael Esparza, we're going to make him break away from his lunch, and we'll ask him what the odds are of the Pelicans making the playoffs. Mr. Vegas joins us in the next segment as he points the finger down already. ESPN New Orleans will be right back after this quick break. Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Jay Hargrave pinch hitting for Gus Gadfield with Brian from NOLA East and Jason Trotsclair manning the boards. And the man who needs no introduction is now joining us, Rafael Esparza from Doc Sports. Rafael, we understand. I saw you on your phone when we were giving away the gift certificate for Coronas. You were trying to win. You were caller 999.
Oh, I was looking for a Valentine's Day gift.
Chris from New Orleans was caller number 1,000. You were close.
Damn
it. But you came up short.
Luckily, there's Walgreens next door if I need a Valentine's Day present.
There you go. Congratulations to Chris from New Orleans. We'll be giving away one more in the third hour, so stay tuned for that. Rafael, trade deadline comes and goes. I don't know what the Cleveland Cavaliers were doing. It seemed like I don't think they knew what they were doing. It just whatever hit them at the moment they were doing. Do you change odds any from the trade activity yesterday?
We adjusted a little. I mean, I think we still kind of believed LeBron was going to come out of the East, even if they kept the old band together.
You still think they're going to come out?
You have to keep on thinking. You have to beat LeBron in a 7-game series. It's just not one and done if you beat him at home and in a playoff game when they're done. You have to beat him 4 games in a 7-game series. And for me, I mean, the Celtics were the only ones. Maybe Washington might come out, maybe Toronto. But again, trying to beat LeBron in 4 games in the playoffs, with a guy who's had so much playoff experience, I still had them going. Granted, all the struggles they had, I think I still was leaning towards that way.
Where do you put the Detroit Pistons? They're outside looking in right now. Andre Drummond looks like a totally different basketball player now that Blake Griffin's gotten there. Stan Van Gundy said it the other night when they were playing. You saw Blake Griffin take over, took the ball to the goal, got an easy basket with the game on the line, drilled a three. Then he started creating for his teammates, got the double teams, guys cutting into the lane. They put the game away quick. This looks like a totally different team. I didn't think Blake Griffin was going to make that much of a difference. Do you think they can make any kind of headway in the East?
They got momentum right now, but they played all those games at home. Let's go on a road trip. Let's see how he does there. I mean, I think with the buyouts coming out now, I think Detroit could probably maybe pick up a nice buyout. I mean, because people like to play with a winning team and momentum team. Pistons right now have that. They have a tough game tonight with the Clippers going to Motown, but then they go on the road. So let's ask me that question a week from now when they play. I think they'll play 2 road games by then.
Yeah. Who do you think are the candidates for buyouts? Do you think Isaiah Thomas finishes the year in with the Lakers, or do you think they buy him out and send him on his way?
I think he finishes with the Lakers. I heard he's excited that they said yesterday they're probably going to play ball. I mean, Ball's knees is not healthy. I mean, he's not probably going to come back for at least another month maybe after the All-Star break. They said maybe add 2 more weeks after the All-Star break. So that's a month. So now you need IT there, and you never know how Ball's going to come back. And if he doesn't look like the same, they may shut him down for the whole rest of the season. Why risk it?
It makes a lot of sense.
That's interesting, man. What are your thoughts on maybe what's going on in Washington with John Wall and his teammates and the team actually playing better basketball right now, considering that he is out and then they're taking shots at him because the team is playing well without him, and then he has to come back into that locker room and distribute the ball to these same guys? How do you see that playing out?
I think winning cures anything, and if he comes back in the locker room and they're still winning, I think they're going to open. I mean, because that gives them another scorer. If you're John Wall, you have to put your pride maybe, and if you come in there and they're still winning, you gotta shut your pride down and say, hey, you know what? I'm not gonna mess up. Maybe I will make an extra pass to Otto Porter instead of me taking the shot, or maybe I'll distribute more, or maybe I will play defense. But, I mean, people were knocking him about his defensive playing, just standing around, but I heard his knees were really bothering him for the season, so I'm gonna give him a small pass on maybe his defensive play, cause it may be injury.
What do you think about right now what's going on with the Miami Heat? They just got Dwayne Wade back, and of course, you know, the crowd, the fans, the organization looks like they've been rejuvenated because they got their guy back. How do you see Miami basically taking the next step now that they got D-Wade? As far as the energy thing, I don't think on the court he's going to make that much of a difference, but can he be the difference maker and maybe, you know, kind of getting those guys, I guess, that jolt of energy that they needed to make this run?
I have Miami as the odd man out. I mean, everyone keeps on saying who's going to be the eighth spot in the West. Look at the East. The bottom 5 through 8 is going to be tough. Someone's going to sit out. Miami sat out last year with a 31. They go 31-10 to finish out the season and didn't make the playoffs. I think they may be the odd man out in this one. And if you're Miami, you might have to be worried because maybe Juanstan might want to go out. Maybe Dragic may want to leave if they don't make the playoffs again. I'm telling you, big stars, they don't like to sit around teams not making playoffs. That's when you start hearing grumblings. So I think Miami right now, I think they're the odd man. I think Detroit gets in.
Last segment, Brian and I were talking about LeBron leaving Cleveland and looking maybe for another team. I don't see him going to the West. I don't think he wants any part of Golden State until the finals. Would Miami be a destination? Are they putting the band back together? LeBron, they already got Dwayne Wade. Is that a landing spot for LeBron next year?
I think if he goes to an East, I think it has to be Philly. I mean,
be the favorites?
They would be the favorites. I think that we would, if we put that prop up right now, I would think Cleveland would be the favorite.
To re-sign him?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I think Cleveland would be the favorite, and then I would put Philly second, and then maybe one of the L.A. Well, we would probably just put L.A. so I can cover both L.A. teams so I won't get burned by Lakers money. And then I would probably put Houston. But I don't sleep on San Antonio either. Maybe they could do a flip-flop with Kawhi Leonard and LeBron. Do a flip-flop. LeBron's always said he's always loved the organization of San Antonio.
So do you think there is something there with Kawhi Leonard? Because they've talked about him being dissatisfied with the way the Spurs have handled his injury.
You know, if he was a different player, if he was a vocal player or someone that's out there, I think there would be. But he's so quiet, and I think the grumblings that's coming out may be coming from his camp, maybe not from him himself. Because I've met him quite a few times, and talking to him, it's almost like you're just talking to a neighbor, just shooting around talking sports. He's so quiet, so humble. I think all that grumbling's not coming out from him. I think maybe his camp.
Odds on favorite to come out of the West. We know Golden State is there. But could they lose to the Houston Rockets, who pretty much have had their number now, man?
Yes. I think if any of them, I think could be the Rockets. Maybe the Spurs, unless Kawhi, if Kawhi comes back healthy and all that, they could be cause problem. But it's got to be the Rockets, because I think they're the only ones that can go toe-to-toe on offense. I think they're the only ones that can do a Tecmo Bowl of basketball in a playoff game. It wouldn't shock me if the winner, whoever scores 140 first, wins.
So do you think Detroit is going to get in the East? They've looked really good with Blake Griffin, like you said. They still got to go out on the road and do it. But this looks like a confident team now. And, you know, confident teams, they can be very dangerous, not only getting into the playoffs, but now you got a guy in Blake Griffin who can guard LeBron James. Could Detroit make some noise in the East?
I think they could. I think they're going to be a destination for a buyout person. I think if they win tonight, that's what, five straight games, they go on a roll. Let's say if they split their road trip and all that, well, why not go to the East? If you're someone that's going to get cut in the West, why not go in the East and make playoffs?
What about a candidate for the next superstar? Could that Blake Griffin trade now balance the East and the West? Every super team was seeming like it was being built in the West. Now Detroit looks like they could be a destination in the offseason. If they can get another superstar, maybe they could start putting together a big team.
It's funny how all summer long was all West Coast, West Coast. And now the East, with the Greek Freak having a monster season, now the Blake Griffin's a Piston. I think that the momentum's there for the East to finally make some noise. And I think they could compete this year. And I would not be shocked if like the Celtics, Wizards, Toronto, Milwaukee, and all that. They may land some big destinations for free agents where we wouldn't have thought over the summer.
Is there any reason right now for Golden State to panic? Because, of course, they've lost quite a few games recently. They kind of look disinterested. Is this one of those it's the dog days of the NBA, the All-Star break is coming up? Or is there reason for concern, considering that maybe, Golden State's arrogance is finally going to get them in trouble, thinking they can just wake up, hit a switch, and go out there and knock down 33s?
You know what? Ask me that question after the buyout is, because they're trying to free up one roster spot. And it's probably going to be JaMale McGee. He'll probably be cut or released or go somewhere else. And if they could pick up someone, then I think, okay, maybe it's just the dog days. But I think they're more worried about what's coming upon in the next couple of years. I think they do lose Thompson. I just don't think those three guys can stay there forever. I wouldn't be shocked if they win another championship. Why would maybe Curry goes somewhere and maybe goes back home and plays in Charlotte?
Who do you think might be one of the guys they're looking at on a buyout? Any ideas? Have you heard any names that they might be looking for?
I mean, I think Tariq Evans might still be a possible buyout.
Do you?
I think both the Lopez's could be a possible buyout, especially from the Lakers' point of view.
Could we get one of the Lopez brothers?
I heard that was an option. I heard during the trade you were looking for another big man, and maybe Isaac could come back. He'll be a buyout from the Bulls. You guys can have him back.
Watch your mouth.
Odds that Tariq Evans actually ends up back in New Orleans.
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, that'd be great for an offense, but then you have another guy shooting more threes, so do you really want another guy shooting threes?
I just want Tyreek to come back so we can find the shimmy sounder and have Tyreek come back. That was one of the favorites around here.
Yeah.
What about Milwaukee? Since Jason Kidd's gotten fired, that team's taken off.
Yeah,
talked about the Greek Freak earlier. Was Jason Kidd that much of a problem in
Milwaukee?
You know
what? I thought it was going to go opposite, because I heard the Greek Freak loved Jason Kidd. I mean, he stuck right behind him right when he got fired.
Yeah.
He's shooting out tweets and stuff like that, saying, "Hey, I can call the owner if you want." So I thought it was going to go the opposite. I thought maybe they might be in a little rough patch before things got well. But I was totally wrong in there. And I just think the way he is and the way the players like to play with him, I mean, it's just he's going to be a superstar in this league.
Where does Jason Kidd land, if anywhere? Because, I mean, obviously he's a good head coach. Pretty much everywhere he's been, they've looked like a pretty decent team. What happens with Jason Kidd? Because something always happens to where he gets fired, but he lands on his feet, and the team that he coaches actually gets better, but it never lasts long. Is it a matter of kind of like he was as a player, to where his attitude kind of just wears you down after a while, or is it just a situation to where bad timing because he always picks pretty bad teams that he has to build up?
Yeah, I think he takes a year off. I don't think he coaches right away. I think he may maybe take a year off, maybe go on TV for a little bit and jump back in. I would be shocked if he takes another one right away.
Every year we're getting close to the point where every year everybody starts talking about tanking. There's a logjam in the NBA, 17, 18, 19 wins. There's about 7 or 8 teams. When should we start looking for teams to start tanking? Do you think it happens this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Bulls have pretty much waved a white flag saying that they're going to tank. If you're the Knicks, start tanking and maybe look for another possibility. I mean, to see the unicorn go down was a very sad day for the NBA. I mean, just because he was having a really good season. He was, granted, he was unhealthy most of the season, but when he did play, he did produce. That was a sad day. But, yeah, I think a lot of teams are going to start tanking.
One team that I can't figure out, because Mark Cuban, this is so unlike him to sit back and do this. What is his plan? Is he just waiting for Dirk Nowitzki to retire so then he could restructure the team? Because I can't believe he has sat back this many years. He's got a great coach in Rick Carlisle, and they really haven't made a whole lot of moves.
Yeah, they've been bitten by the injury bug. Harrison didn't play last night, so he's been out with some injuries. I think they just wait for Dirk and then maybe start building around him. But I mean, if you're him, Cuban, he's possibly running for the president in the next election. He's on TV shows and all that. So maybe his mind is not 100% like it used to be when they were winning.
Is this it for Dirk last year?
I would be shocked if he comes back.
Yeah, I would too. Can you stick around for another segment?
Sure.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to continue with Rafael Esparza from Doc Sports. Take a quick break and we'll be back on the Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Alongside Brian and Noel East, I'm Jay Hargrave, pinch hitting for Gus Gattengill. Gus will be back Monday in the captain's chair. And when we last left you, we were speaking with Rafael Esparza from Doc Sports. He's been gracious enough to stay over for another segment. Olympics in full swing, and every week it seems like I ask you, you're not taking bets on the Olympics, are you?
Oh, every event I'm trying to put odds on. We have anywhere from curling to every...
You're taking bets on curling?
Oh, yeah. You know what? For the sport that's like in Finland and Netherlands and all that, we've been taking bets on curling probably before it was really, really popular. Because back then, especially in Canada, it's super popular. I mean,
yeah.
It's one of their, I would say in Canada, in the cold sports, it's probably one of their second probably biggest sport.
I do watch a lot of hockey, and they have hockey night in Canada. They also have curling night in Canada. How do you bet on a curling match? I mean, is it like runs in baseball, points in basketball?
We just put who's going to win or who's going to advance. We don't do by rock throws or stuff like that.
So it's Canada is usually the favorite, and you have to give up odds to get Canada.
Well, I don't know. For the women's, Finland and the Netherlands are going to be tough to beat for women's. And I think for men's, it's Canada's to lose.
How do you have this much time in a day to know who's the favorites in curling?
It's just a lot of research and a lot of ignoring the misses at home.
Wow. It's amazing you haven't been divorced yet. So before in the first segment, earlier in the show, the first hour, Rafael, Brian and I were talking about the quarterback situation in the NFL with who might land Kirk Cousins. We also speculated what's going to happen with Nick Foles. You taking odds on where Kirk Cousins is going to end up?
Not yet, because I think it's only a two-team race between Cousins. I think it's either Cleveland or the Jets. So
really?
We were getting heavy action, just those two, so we shut it down. We do have odds for Foles we put up the day after, Tuesday after the Super Bowl, we put that up. Eagles +125, the Cardinals +450, the Browns 5-1. Jets 6-1, Broncos 8-1. Look out for the Broncos. They may make some noise on trying to grab a free agent that maybe not heard. I mean, I know Kirk Cousins would love to be a Bronco. He said that, but I would not be shocked if the Broncos will make a big quarterback move.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about the Minnesota Vikings, who are definitely a QB needy team. They have a defense, have the running game, especially with Cook coming back off the injury. But what they don't have is their situation at quarterback solidified. What happens to any of those three guys? Does anybody come back? And if so, which one? If not, what do you do with that situation?
I think Bradford's gone. I think all three of us can agree that he's, if he would be the first one, I think they would probably be his contract, his money. I think they keep Bridgewater. I think they keep Keenum. I think he proved for what, how many weeks that he was a pretty decent quarterback and didn't make that many mistakes. How do you just throw him aside when everyone thought the season was over when, Bradford went down and they were like, oh, it's Green Bay's division now. Minnesota's gonna maybe tank, maybe look for a number one draft pick for the quarterback. And then here comes if it wasn't for Foles winning the Super Bowl, I think Minnesota's quarterback with Keenum would have probably been a talk of what we're talking about right now, what he did for them.
Teddy Bridgewater is not gonna get a lot of money, is he?
I don't think so. I mean, he's injury prone. Both his knees are offensive lineman or defensive lineman type knees. I don't think he's going to be a high demand especially for money wise.
Jimmy Garoppolo signs what is today the richest contract in, you know, NFL history for, you know, he's the highest paid guy now. Who's the odds on favorite to be that guy, let's say, when the season starts? Because of course the Atlanta Falcons have come out and said they want to, you know, make sure they extend Matt Ryan. Aaron Rodgers is always creeping around the corner. Who's the next highest paid guy in the NFL?
Well, I think you may have maybe coming out of your guys' division. I think pick any three besides Drew. I would think any of those three could be possibly maybe like Cam, Ryan,
Winston.
Winston. I mean, I would think those three would be my pick. I think any other quarterback we've been talking about, Russell Wilson, he's up there in age. Big Ben up there in age, which I'm hearing they're working on maybe a 2-year contract extension with Big Ben. Which is kind of weird after he makes a comment thing he might want to retire, and all of a sudden he's looking at an extension for maybe 2 more years. I would think those guys would be my top three.
Josh McDaniels earlier in the week stands up the Colts and just leaves them at the altar. Who's going to be the favorite to get the Colts job?
Well, I mean, your guys' boy from
Dan
the Saints.
Campbell?
Is it interview Monday or Tuesday, I thought I read? He had high hopes of coming in there, or high praise I heard coming in there for that interview. Maybe Schwartz. I mean, he did a heck of a job for the Eagles. So maybe if you're looking for a quick fix and just get one in there, because I hate to even think about the combine and the draft so close already, it makes me want to puke. Maybe Schwartz could be the job because he has the experience that can start right away.
I know they said Frank Reich, offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles. Look, I got burned with Peterson because Peterson wasn't calling the plays when he was under Andy Reid in Kansas City. I said, I don't think this is going to be a good hire when Philly got him. I'll eat those words right now. Peterson should be coach of the year for what he did in Philadelphia. Now the Colts might take a page out of his book and go get Frank Reich, who wasn't calling the plays in Philadelphia, still the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, people don't remember. I mean, I forgot what poll did it when the season started. They had the Eagles. Peterson is the worst coach signing on there as the bottom, and now he's the Super Bowl. So
I'll admit to that one.
So if Gentry wins the NBA championship, you have to eat a lot of crow for that one, too.
I'll be happy to eat a lot of crow, but I got a better chance of being Queen of England than that happening.
But for what the Philly did, for all their coaches and not being besides Schwartz, I mean, hats off to them. I mean, they were the better team. Plain and simple.
If you had to put odds on it, who starts more games next year, Carson Wentz or Nick Foles?
Wow. There will be odds on that.
I
would be sure.
If Foles leaves Philly, then I'll say him, because I think Carson, I think they're going to bring him back slowly. Mm-hmm. I would not be shocked if they, I mean, because, let's face it, winning a back-to-back Super Bowls is really hard to do. So if you're the Eagles, you're playing with, the whole season's house money, yes. Almost like the Cubs. They're going to come in, still partying from Super Bowl. If I was them, I would take Wentz very, very slowly.
Let's rewind and let's try this again. Because that went, who was going to have the better season next year? Which backup QB, Case Keenum or Nick Foles?
If Keenum's in Minnesota, I'm going to say Keenum. Because that defense is, granted, they didn't look good in their last game, Minnesota's defense, but that defense is still really good.
So you guys, the draft, not far. So let me back up. Before the draft is the combine. Please tell me you're not taking odds. You can't take bets on the combine.
No, you know what?
Fastest 40 time?
No, I had to draw the limit some line just because It's bad enough that we have to do so much NFL in the summer. That's, I gotta get, just to talk about the NFL combine, I just want to, I'd rather watch Little League Super Regional games than the NFL combine. Not even a Little League World Series. I'm talking about the Little League Super Regionals games than the NFL combine.
So now to the draft. Are you taking odds on the draft?
Yes, we'll do odds on it. We have a quarterback right now. Sam Darnold will be the first one. He's plus 125. Your boy Baker Mayfield's 8-1 if he's the first quarterback taken. We'll probably have how many quarterbacks be taken in the first round, how many running backs. We'll key a couple mid people, like maybe draft in the mid rounds, over under if they're going to be selected, 10.5, under over, stuff like that. We'll have, I think last year we had over 100 ways to bet the NFL draft.
How many trades could you see happening in the first round? Considering that I think this is going to be probably one of the wildest and craziest NFL offseasons we've seen in a while. So many key positions are going to be all over the place. I just read something that said that Kansas City is looking to release Tamba Ali and Derek Johnson as well. So with all of these major players being all over the place, how do you see that first round shaking up and how many trades could we possibly see?
See, for the NFL, I don't get excited at because it's every year like, oh, the NFL trades are going to be crazy and there's nothing. You hear crickets. So I don't get excited. I don't look ahead when it comes to NFL draft or mock drafts and all that, because if you look at everyone's mock draft and then go after the first one when it's over, it looks like a little kid did a physical eraser and scratchy. So for the NFL draft, I think it's for me, it's the only, I really don't put that much in there because anything can happen. But for draft, for trades, me and you both agree, it's probably so much hype and then it always fizzles.
But last question and we'll let you go, Raphael, but if the Cleveland Browns are able to sign Kirk Cousins, you got to believe they're going to move that number one pick.
I would think so. If you get Kirk Cousins, move it and get more draft picks and try to get Barkley in that fourth round, as the fourth pick, and then just start building around on both sides of the ball.
Quick question before we let you go, Raphael. NFL, yes or no, will there be a lockout considering that it's head towards that?
Ooh, I'm going to say no just because that with the arena or with the WWE's new football season, you don't want to have a lockout and then a new league starts up and then that could draw very, very negative to the NFL. So I'm going to say no.
So you'd be taking odds on that?
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely have a, we did it for the NBA. Would it be a lockout? And we won a lot of money because people were like, there's no way they're going to lock out the NBA. And look what happened.
So if fans want to get an account with you, how do they go about doing that?
You can go over to DocSports.com, click on my lovely picture. And if you want to see all the crazy odds that I put up, you can jump onto mybookie.ag. Anything that says entertainment or props, you know I'm staying up really, really late to do those stuff.
He's Raphael Esperanza, joins us every Friday on the Sports Hangover. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Brian and I will wrap up hour number two on ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Jay Hargrave filling in for Gus Cattingill, joined by Brian and Nola East, the other half of the tag team known as the Bandwagon Express.
Yes, sir.
And Brian, we're being joined now by LSU radio network guy, Marlon Favorite. Marlon, big time in Baton Rouge with signing day. That's always a huge time. Thanks for joining us on Mardi Gras. Are you already on the parade route?
Not yet. I will. My first parade this weekend will be the 9-top parade tomorrow on the West End.
That's your first one?
That will be my first one, baby.
Not the last one.
Not the last. For the Mardi Gras season, that's going to be the one that's going to kick it off. Hello.
There you go. Marlon, Big week in Baton Rouge with the signings. Kind of one of those, finished 13th in the country. The big loss, though, was Patrick Surtain Jr. Of course, his dad played at Southern Mississippi, one of the best corners, was a great cornerback in the NFL with the Dolphins. That was a huge loss. This signing class kind of had that we hope to see a little bit better with Ed Orgeron. Does this put more pressure on Ed next year that they have to have a step-up year?
It does add a bit pressure. I mean, not getting Patrick Surtain with you and then losing him to Alabama played a great deal. But not only that, it's some areas of need, particularly one area of need that didn't get addressed, and that was the quarterback position. But I think everything else he pretty much did pretty good on. I mean, we needed some areas to get filled in on the offensive and defensive line. They handled a lot of that business on early signing day, bringing in Treor, a big JUCO guy who comes in. But they racked up on wide receivers. I mean, I think now we have like 12 wide receivers on scholarship, you know, led by, you know, bringing in Terrence Marshall Jr. I think Kelvin Joseph, he's going to play, he's a skill guy in high school, but he's going to play corner for us. And of course, coming in, you know, keeping home, getting Jamar Chase from Archbishop Rumbling.
Marlon, they had some big signings. My biggest concern, though, is the area at cornerback. I know Ed said they're going to leave that open for, you know, maybe a graduate transfer. I don't know if there's anyone out there. That's one of LSU's strengths, the cornerback position, and I know they put all their marbles on Patrick Surtain, and they came up empty with that one. Do you think they can salvage it by maybe getting a grad transfer at that position?
I think they can. The Tigers know it was a big loss not being able to get Surtain, but I think they make it up somewhere, again, in the transfers, leaving two scholarships open for a transfer. So I don't think that's the end of what we may possibly hear from LSU, just keeping those two spots open. Because, again, the guys that they were targeting, they were able to get some of them, but losing Patrick Surtain to Alabama kind of ruffled what they were trying to do. But I think they make it up with the two scholarships left.
Marlon, this is Brian here, and I wanted to kind of reach out and ask something that you kind of alluded to earlier, which is the idea that LSU has so much talent at wide receiver right now. How many of those guys could you see being flipped over to defense because of the need there?
I can see, like, maybe two or three guys. I know I mentioned them already, bringing in Kelvin Joseph, moving him to cornerback. But, I mean, you may possibly see them looking at some guys that's been in the program that they love the speed, love the size, and they try to, you know, transfer him over to cornerback. Corey Raymond's really good with developing cornerback. If you look at what he did with Dante Jackson over the span, because, I mean, that's a guy he could have essentially put anywhere. But he had Coach Corey Raymond get with him, develop him. So we could potentially see that. I mean, because the speed is there. You play cornerback, you pretty much play wide receiver. You play wide receiver, you play cornerback. I mean, they both have general ideas of what they do. You got to realize what's best for the guys. And I'm always saying this, Brian, converting over from wide receiver to DB is never a bad move. Hello.
Gotcha. So with that being said, that leaves guys like Jamar Chase, who they just brought in, to kind of be that stud wide receiver who could possibly get in as a freshman. How do you see Steve Ensminger actually making this offense go? Because the one thing that I've noticed about most of these recruits, there are two reasons why they want to go to different schools other than LSU, even though the ability to go to the NFL is there. One is because of championships. Of course, you can't compete with Nick Saban when it comes to that right now. But the second reason is because the LSU offense has always looked pretty boring and bland. What do you see from Steve Ensminger that's going to make this offense more, I guess, youth-friendly to where guys want to come and play in that offense?
Well, I think he'll he'll take the roster and play into the strength of the guys he have on the roster. And I think once he starts showing that he's really formulating his team based on the talent that he has, I think that'll help in the recruiting process and also give the Tigers an opportunity to get some of those 4 and 5 star guys coming in. Showing that converting guys over or just going into the fit of the, if you look at LSU last year, we didn't use a lot of our talent. We didn't. We had all these big receivers, Sullivan, just to mention a few guys. I mean, you catch Russell Gage. We never really seen him catching in the slot like that, mainly on the reverses. So I think with Steve Ensminger there now as the offensive coordinator, he'll open up the playbook and play into the talent.
We're speaking with Marlon Favre from the LSU Radio Game Day Network. Marlon, you know, Coach O was such a polarizing hire. Either it was like half the LSU fans loved it. I was in that group. The other half seemed to hate it. With this recruiting class that they signed, would a coach under normal circumstances in his second year, would there have been this much backswing from the fans if maybe the coach had been better accepted by the people?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it would have, if the people would have, I think they played somewhat of a role in that. I think if he would have been a little more accepted, it would have been a little more easy. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. But look, Ed goes out and he goes and hires Bill Bush, former defensive coordinator from Rutgers. Apparently that was a Dave Aranda guy. Aranda personally chose him to be that defensive coach. Then they bring in Doug Nussmeier, who was at Alabama, been at Florida, been at Michigan, big schools, actually quarterbacked here with the New Orleans Saints. He's going to be an analyst on the offensive line. He's bringing in some quality coaches, but it doesn't seem like it gets the attention whenever as it does when there's a negative thing.
Right, and that comes along with the territory sometimes too, Jay. Now that you put it from that perspective, I mean, he's doing everything. I can say that for Coach O, just being around him down here the last 2 years, he's doing everything in his position as head coach to make that team better. Bringing in guys to fit the program, and he has to keep himself in consideration. I mean, you're the head guy, you want to make sure you have a staff that you gel with. So, you know, bringing in guys, better professionals, guys that have really great resumes to build around a program is going to help out tremendously, because even though in the recruiting process we were 14 in the country this year, that's not bad given the fact that LSU did get a lot of positions of need. Offensive linemen, defensive linemen that we really need. We got the running back, Chris Perry from Florida. So we have some guys that signed on that can help build this program. So for Coach Orgeron, the biggest thing, more than anything else, is again to be able to bring in the right staff for the guys that he have and bring LSU back to a winning program.
Marlon, we'll get you out of here with this one here, brother. Coach O recently came out and said he can't worry about the fans and, you know, the media and everybody kind of crashing down on recruiting class or last season's, you know, victory total in the bowl game. Should he be worried is more of a question. Should he be worried?
Hold up. Oh, you went out, Brian. What was your question?
Sorry about that. I was saying that Coach O recently came out and said that he wasn't worried about the fans, the media, and the backlash of last season and the bowl games and stuff like that, but should he be worried about it is the question I'm asking you. Should?
I don't think so. I don't think you should worry about it, and I'll tell you why. Because once you start winning, all the backlash that you get from the media, from fans, all that turns into smiles and keeps up the good work. So I think the biggest thing you should focus on is building the program, making sure our players are in the best position to become successful, and bring others back to greatness, baby.
Marlon, thanks for your time. We hope you have a happy Mardi Gras. And we'll be right back with our last hour on the Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans.